Welcome, everybody. I am Jesse Mogul, and thank you for joining us on the American Contingency Podcast. We are a united nationwide community of steadfast Americans ready for any challenge that comes our way. We inform, equip, and train so you can prepare, respond, and recover from any man-made or natural disaster or situation. And man, have we had a great time with our blogs over on the members website. Really excited about this month's topic, which has been mobility. And a lot can be said about mobility, and there can be a lot of reasons why we recognize it in our day-to-day lives, whether it's trying to go to work and finding that there's a construction zone that's now going to make us late, or finding out that weather conditions have caused us to need to find alternate means. Look no further than what happened at bridges in the United States of America recently, whenever all of a sudden people's major routes to get to and from places have been taken away. What are we going to do whenever mobility becomes an issue? And it's not just about how we drive places. There's personal readiness that comes involved with it as well. Whether it's just making sure you are prepared to move in an emergency situation, or how does your mobility hold up if you were to sprain an ankle or somebody you're with hiking hurts themselves, snake bites, falls. Who knows all of the different ways you might all of a sudden be put into a situation where your mobility is compromised. Those who are around you can no longer move in the manner in which they were accustomed to just minutes prior. So our personal readiness and how we engage in the community in order to help make sure that people understand route safety, community safety, community communication, not just in our cities, but also in our rural environments, then learning these outdoor skills that will allow us to splint a leg to help somebody who has hurt themselves get to the nearest place for them to receive medical attention. As I've said multiple times on this podcast, we are our own first responders. And when we start asking ourselves, well, what is the community going to do so I can get to work, so I can be effective in my life? There's not always going to be a solution at the ready. I need look no further than what happened over the winter when we had snow that turned into ice, that turned into black ice, and literally the Huntsville-Madison area shut down for the better part of a week. People weren't going to school. Getting to work was difficult. Restaurants were shuttered. Businesses that normally would have been open were closed simply because people could not get to work. They could not get to their homes. We didn't want to have ice machines in this community. So any kind of thing that the government officials, that the city could do in order to alleviate the pressures people were feeling by not being able to leave their homes, or at least not feeling safe to leave their homes, there was no remedy for this other than just waiting for the temperature to reach a certain point when the ice literally would just melt away. So there won't always be a contingency in place. There won't be plans, and whether that's for budgetary reasons or because of a lack of the ability to get the equipment, or for many times communities just don't think they need it because maybe once or twice a year weather conditions could get to that point. But there's going to be a level of community engagement and communication and skills we want to foster within people to help them be prepared for those kinds of situations. And lastly, there's going to be some practical strategies that we can be thinking about, right? Whether it's your home and economic stability, whether it's things that are essential for mobility, let's discuss all three of these together as one holistic topic. As we discuss some of the blog posts that I've put up for the American Contingency membership site, and also things that just pop into my head as I discuss mobility. Because one of the interesting things about these topics when I dive into them each month to write up about 12 or 13 blog posts, depending on how many Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays are in the month, is that they all work in tandem. There's a growth opportunity we have around these subjects when we really dive into how they also connect with all of our categories. Communication, medical, security, mobility, food and water, income and economics, health, community leadership, outdoor skills, situational awareness, defense, home and family, All of these actually are interconnected. They don't live in their own little bubble. So when we think about mobility and how we might communicate, yes, the first thing that comes to mind is these awesome supercomputers that are in our pockets all the time. But what happens if the Wi-Fi connections go down? What happens if the cell phone towers are no longer working? Certainly in a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake, we might very well be looking at having none of our traditional means of communication available to us. So when we go mobile, all of a sudden, if we were looking for the maps to work on our phone, that may not work anymore. If we're looking for quick communication with our loved ones across miles and miles, all of a sudden, that may not be as available as it had previously been. And certainly, ham radios can step in for those of us who have those. But there also could be issues with that and whether the switch towers and the receivers that can move the signal over wide distances, have they been damaged in the process of whatever has caused our mass communications to fail us? So when we think about how we're going to be on the move and communicate, there can be opportunities there for us to really dive into different ways that we can discuss with our families how we might be able to communicate. Because it's in this personal and family preparedness that we want to show agility. We want to show flexibility. Not just in the way that we react and respond emotionally to these situations, but for a lot of people, are you as personally fit as you might need to be if you were put into a situation where you had to be ready to move in a moment's notice? I've got some friends who huff and puff when we go upstairs. Not going to work out very well if we're trying to cover a wide distance on foot, because that's the only way that we can be mobile in the moment. So be thinking about some strategies where you can start looking for ways to improve your physical health. Now, I'm not telling you that you all of a sudden have to start doing 500 jumping jacks, 500 sit-ups, and 500 push-ups every single morning when you wake up. But if you're noticing that there are some faults in your personal fitness, instead of beating yourself up and discouraging yourself, just simply start taking small little steps every day by walking a little bit more. After dinner, go on a family walk and enjoy the outdoors, weather permitting, of course, and get yourself a little bit more activity, right? Establishing a routine and being able to embrace different ways that you can begin to up-level your life will encourage those in your immediate surroundings, especially those in your own house, to start working on their own mobility. Especially if you turn it into a family kind of emotional gathering where it's like, hey, let's all go for a walk and just talk about the day or listen to the birds sing. It could be any of those things, but it starts with your decision to start doing it for yourself. Because when we start thinking about emergency preparedness and these key elements that we might want available to us for quick departures, our body is the first thing that needs to be ready to go. Yes, we want go bags and a full tank of gas and an ability to lock up our house so we can at least walk away from it with this illusion of safety for it. But ultimately, we must be ready to move. Go bags, vehicle readiness, home security, these are all extremely important. But it's first and foremost, can we be mobile? We want to ensure that our family can evacuate efficiently, effectively, safely, and we want it to be done with a well-practiced plan, not just something that randomly comes to our mind as we're trying to sprint out of the house. And what I find extremely interesting is how often I will talk to people who want to be ready, who want to have plans, but then don't actually do anything about putting those desires into action. So when it comes to personal readiness, be thinking about your body. Is it agile? Is it flexible? Can you be mobile? Have you established routines in your life that will allow you to stay healthy, whether it's the way you eat or the amount of activity you have? And are you prepared to move in a quick and efficient manner and also have those supplies and resources that you desire from the go bags and the vehicle readiness and the home security so that the least of your concerns when it's time to get on the move is making sure all of these things are taken care of? It is extremely important when we focus on mobility that we start seeing it as a larger, broader topic than just simply what is happening with our vehicle and if we've got good tires. Moving forward, when we start discussing community engagement, when we ensure that we have the right tools and plans in place, that we are at the ready, then we can be there more for our family, physically, mentally, emotionally, which means that we also have the bandwidth to be there for our communities at the same time when they need us the most. Thinking about the community engagement that we can have, it's very interesting to me the amount of people that I'll know that want to take charge, that want to be in control when things are relatively steady and stable. But then when things start to go awry, they start turning to other people for a solution to what's going on. And this doesn't necessarily mean that they are unplanned or unready, as much as it might mean that there's a little bit about themselves that feels unsure that their solution, their resolution to the immediacy of the issue may not be the best direction in which to go. What I think is imperative is that we start to encourage people to make their own decisions so that they can feel like they are in control when chaos is looming or it's just barreling down upon us. We won't always know how we'll react, how we'll respond in those situations. But if we get the community involved, if we get our loved ones involved, we start to encourage leadership, then we'll start to be able to foster a more safe and secure mindset where we understand the importance of rapid response, whether that's a route to get away from danger or whether that's simply what to do if we see somebody else fall. There isn't going to be somebody looking around yelling, "Is there a doctor? Is there somebody who knows what the hell's going on?" It can be all of us in the moment who say, "I am familiar with this. These are some experiences I had. Let's jump into this. Let's figure this out." Because community safety and engaging community members in safety initiatives is going to be a primary way in which we can ensure everybody in our community understands the impact a lack of mobility can have on their safety and their security and their overall contentment. When the hurricanes and the tornadoes and all of these natural disasters or man-made disasters, if it, you know, will a bridge going down or a train being derailed, any of these could begin to stop some people in the community's ability to be mobile, to get home, to get where they want to be. Just because I'm at home safely doesn't mean that there's not a part of me that isn't emotionally connected to those who aren't. That, yes, I might have safety in the moment, but I genuinely care about my community's safety as well. So as we begin to think about the environmental and the outdoor skills that we could foster in our community, from navigating through nature, utilizing advanced wilderness skills, being able to do that without a compass, and knowing how to use stars, or just knowing a compass rose and which way is north, south, east, and west, and how to be able to tell that by where the sun is. Like, yes, for most of us, we pretty much know when the sun starts to set in one end, that's going to be west, but we had to learn that. And do children know that? If they get themselves turned around in the woods behind the house, do they know the direction that they should be walking in order to find their way home? How is that going to reduce their willingness to be mobile when there's not an adult around if something goes sideways? The significance of understanding and preparing for wildlife encounters, wildlife adventures, is going to allow us to, in how much ever you can, ensure you have some level of safety while you're in the woods, right? You know, if you know there's bears in the woods, then certainly you would hope that you don't come upon one. But would you know what to do if you came upon a black or a brown bear? Is there a difference in how you might behave in those situations? I think if it's brown, get down. If it's black, get whack or something like that, where it's like you yell and scream at them. I don't know, and I'm not going to Google it, but I'm pretty sure there's a rhyme that tells you whether you should. I do know this. Don't run from a bear. But wildlife encounters could be a raccoon. It could be a stray dog. There could be a lot of things that go on out there that could endanger you. And it could also just be going on a hike and tripping over a, a, rock or a limb or a root, and now somebody has twisted their ankle, they've sprained their arm by the landing. So many of these different things can shift our mobility. And so we want to be encouraging the growth in these skilled areas. And in the blogs this month, I talk in depth on many of these and give you practical tips and advice, and think about, you know, the beginner strategies, the intermediate strategies, and advanced strategies on how you can be able to utilize these mobility tactics in your own day-to-day life, whether it's rural or urban. We want to engage the community because this is absolutely going to help in personal preparedness, and it's going to strengthen community ties and safety. Right? This is where you hear about communities that are resilient. It's like, yes, this horrible tragedy happened, but even though people didn't have electricity for a week, they were able to get where they needed to go. They had food and they had water and they had shelter and they had warmth. And it was all made possible by the community working together to make sure that nobody got left behind. And you want it when you go to equip yourself with outdoor skills, urban skills. It's essential that everyone is looking to engage safely with the environment that is around them. How mobile does somebody really feel if they're in a very urban environment that's unfamiliar to them? How much are you going to be willing to walk down a street that might be quite fun if you think it's dangerous simply because you don't have the situational awareness to be able to read the scene and know what is happening? Because it's pretty easy to notice the people, but are we noticing their behaviors? Are we noticing what's going on around us? When loud sounds happen, does it shock us? Or does it startle us? Or does it put us on alert to just be more aware of what's happening around us? Our environment plays a huge role in our ability to be mobile and be ready when we need to be ready. This situational awareness I talk about in the mobility blog on situational awareness and the member's website very much speaks to understanding urban and rural and wilderness situations and how we can utilize mobility in them. And lastly, our practical strategies. There's a lot that you can Google on this subject, so I'm not going to sit here and just give you the mundane. But it is important that when we leave our home, that we do our best to make sure that it is still a safe haven for us when we come back. Depending on how long you're going to be gone, you're going to want to utilize some home protection strategies that allow you the opportunity to keep an eye on or at least lock your place down in a manner in which you can feel comfortable about going away. Because having stress and anxiety about your house, while you also have stress and anxiety about your own personal safety, your family, your loved ones, your friends, whomever you're with while you're seeking to become mobile, do you really want to be stressing about your home as well? Yes, I get that security cameras and opportunities to keep an eye on your house via your cell phone, your smart device, may be limited depending on Wi-Fi connections and electricity and things of that nature. But it's still wise to have them in place in case the reason you do need to leave your home has nothing to do with your house's inability to send a signal to your smart device so you can keep an eye on it. A lot of people will be like, well, if a hurricane hits, I probably won't have electricity anyways, so why should I bother putting up a bunch of security cameras that I can watch via my phone? Because that may not be why you need to leave your house. So think ahead, budget appropriately. Because we want to be thinking of economic strategies for maintaining stability and mobility when we travel, when we need to leave our home. I mean, I can get anxiety just leaving my house sometimes in the morning just to go off and live my normal life. Just about, you know, are my loved ones going to be safe? There's been some inclement weather. Is my house going to be okay? There's been some crime in the neighborhood. Is everything going to work out in that regard? Can I even go for my nightly walk to finish up my 10,000 steps at midnight? Am I still safe doing those things? When I start to question my safety, then I start asking myself, what is it I could be doing to help with my safety and security while I'm being mobile, whether that's walking or running or driving or biking or however it might be? It starts by being able to afford some of the resources that we'd want to utilize in these opportunities. Focus on your budget management, on your resource utilization. How are you actualizing some of these things into your life? I know for a lot of people, getting a generator is a humongous expense and not something that you can just walk into blindly. But if you needed to stay at home and you were no longer able to be mobile, but you didn't have electricity, do you have an opportunity to create electricity on your own to keep your refrigerator running or to keep the heat or the air conditioner going? And how much noise is that device going to make? And will that invite other people to your house? Perhaps nefarious ones, you would prefer they weren't there. You want to be thinking about all of these whenever you go to make a purchase of that nature, whether it be, you know, special tires for your car to drive in ice and snowy conditions or a generator for your house, that what you have could put a target on your back for the people who don't have that. And it's not always nefarious. Sometimes people very much want to be a part of what you're doing in a loving way. Hey, you have air conditioner, you have heater, we can't go anywhere. Can we please be in your home? Are you prepared to hunker down with some people in your cul-de-sac? Are they going to have supplies they can bring over so they're not burning through your food and water and probably toilet paper if they're staying for any length of time? When we think about some of these essential for mobility that are practical strategies, we talk about go bags quite frequently. But how often do you pull your go bag out and make sure that it's seasonally ready? Yeah, you might want an emergency blanket or an emergency tent during the winter months. And perhaps in the summer months, in your go bag, you're going to want some mosquito spray or some sort of, still, I would say an emergency blanket, but maybe one that's not meant to keep you warm as much as it's meant to keep you cool. Is your go bag seasonally ready? Are you able to shift out the supplies that are in those based on the season, but still readily get to those other supplies off season in case where you're going dictates you need those supplies now? It's very interesting, again, to me when I walk into people's garages to see how prepared they are. And it is just a cluster mess of nonsense. Nothing seems organized. When I ask them, well, where's this thing? Where's that thing? Everything's in different spots. I'm like, but if you were going to need to leave in a hurry, or you just wanted to be able to come out here and there was no lights, you'd realize how difficult it would be for you to get all of these things together. Why aren't they all together already? Yes, a lot of people want to lean into this idea that mobility simply means the vehicle is prepared. They've got good hiking shoes. But there's so many steps that are involved. And whether you're reading the blogs in the membership site or you're just trying to figure this out on your own, you're going to have questions. More information doesn't necessarily alleviate questions as much as it might actually pose new ones you hadn't even thought about. Practical strategies involve not just preparing your physical belongings, but also ensuring that there's some economic and home stability in your life. Nothing breaks me up more than hearing that people who thought they were prepared coming back to their house and realizing that the calamity they were facing before they left it has been exacerbated because now there's even more things at their homestead that they have to take care of simply because they didn't think ahead of time. From go bags to vehicle checks to practical readiness, practicing your readiness, all of these things can ensure that you handle the demands of mobility with confidence. Practice these things. How fast can your family get out of the house if all of a sudden there's a grease fire in the kitchen or an earthquake starts to happen and things start to crumble? And do you know where would be the safest place to run outside of your house if you are in an earthquake-prone area? Right? Do you really want to have your loved ones standing in the path of a falling tree? Now, if the ground splits open and swallows everybody up, probably couldn't have planned for that one too much. But certainly you could figure out where in the front or backyard everyone is supposed to meet so you don't have a tragedy occur because somebody runs back in the house unsure of if their loved one got it out safely or not. When we want to recap the importance of mastering mobility across your personal, your community, and your practical areas of life, I encourage you to take proactive steps towards enhancing your mobility preparedness. As members, you have complete access to every single one of the blogs every single time they're posted. Go read those. Make a checklist. Have you prepared as in-depth as you can? If you have no preparation whatsoever, then it will be very easy for you to start because everything is available for you. Likewise, it could be just as easy if you are a long-time preparedness person because now you already do have so many things in place. Have you invited other people in your life to discuss with you their levels of preparation, their stories of how they've been able to thrive in man-made or natural disasters, situations, or just any given Tuesday when all of a sudden their best route to the elementary school is being clogged up by road construction? You can be preparing for mobility in your life by talking to how other people have been able to prepare for mobility in their life. Enhance your mobility preparedness by being proactive. Subscribe. Become a member of our organization. Be somebody who shares your expertise so that we can all learn from one another. The whole point of American Contingency is to feel that we're never alone, that we're the kind of people who will be there for one another when it's possible, that we respect one another, that we have trust that the other one will be there for us when we need them, that we accept personal responsibility for what we can do in order to be prepared, and we get the community involved. This idea of never being alone is something that we really want people to sink into. And everyone's going to have a different way of deciding how they want to be mobile and how they want to take care of their preparations. So come, join American Contingency if you're not already a member. If you are, then go in there. Create a conversation underneath these blog posts. Learn more about your personal and community preparedness. Guide one another. Be there for one another. Just like you can tune into this show and learn differing ways of experiencing preparedness in your life, there are people all around you who have tips and tricks and hacks and little did you knows. Just lean over to them and say, hey, you remember that time that bridge went out in Oklahoma? What would we do if something went out here? Remember that time there was that ice storm in Buffalo? God, that was crazy. What would happen if we had an ice storm? Where would we go? What would we do? And if we couldn't leave our house, would we be ready for that? That can start up a conversation that could literally not just make a bad day feel pretty okay, but it could potentially save a life. That's what we want to guide you to. Knowing what you could be doing when you think that there's nothing to be done. And when you're ready to build the skills and the network and the confidence to be ready for whatever comes next, join us at AmericanContingency.com. We'll keep the fire going for you so you can find your way. See you next time. Bye-bye.